and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and reading from verse 11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then Romans 8 and verse 2, because this speaks of the law of life or the law of reproduction here. And in Romans 8 and 2, Paul calls it the law of the Spirit of life. He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life," in verse 2, "for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." What Paul's talking about is if you're born of the Spirit, there's a law of life in you that frees you up from this the body of this death right here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the law of the Spirit of Christ, the life in Christ, knowing that the very life that was in your Son Jesus is the same life that manifested itself in him, the same life that manifested in your Son William Branham, the same life that is ordained to be manifested in us. And so, Father, we just pray that you might help us, Lord, to die to self, that Christ might have the preeminence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Sunday morning we spoke on the seventh attribute of the Son of God, and that is that they have eternal life, which is God's very own life. And thus, according to the law of life, as we read from Genesis 1:11, they must express the very nature of God, because that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that Paul spoke of. And also, as Brother Branham said, sheep bear wool because it's just their nature to bear wool. In other words, we don't have to try. If you really have the Spirit of Christ in you, you will. It'll just come. Now, from his message, God of this evil age, Brother Branham said, "For as a germ of natural life is brought down, germatized from father to father to father to father, so is the life of Christ germatized." That's the reason God uses Elijah's spirit five different times. What is it? It's a handing down. Just as your natural life and traits is handed down from the natural breeding of your father, so is the Spirit of God that was predestinated before the foundations of the world. And when the entire Word of God, incomplete, was headed up in the human body called Jesus Christ, in there, God made me pay for my sins in him there. So, you know, see, here's the thing. If Christ is the head of the body, we're not talking about, you know, Jesus Christ being one body, you being another body. We're talking about there's one body. All right? One group called sons. We have an eldest son. He's the eldest. He's the top. He's the head. All right? But we were in him, as Brother Ram said, because that genetic dispensation of coming down, 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 down. He says, "Then he raised up with me in the resurrection, and now we are seated with him in power and authority over every devil. Oh, if you could only believe what God has given. But if you're not seated there, you don't have it. And if you're seated there and don't believe and are afraid to move, you'll never use it. But if you are seated there, you will use it, for you're ordained to do what you do." Pharaoh on the other side was raised up for this purpose, the Bible said, to be Pharaoh. Judas Iscariot was raised up to be the son of perdition. You see, so Brother Branham is really nailing down predestination here. Now, so what we're looking at here is seed life, whether in God's seed or serpent seed, both have seed life, and both will do what the offspring what was done in the original seed. Okay, therefore, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Jehovah Jireh Part 2, he said, "Live so that if God wants to use you, he knows right where to come to get you." In other words, live your life so like... Here's the thing, and I'm just going to bring this up again because I think it fits, all right? But when Brother Branham told Brother Hickerson, he said, there's two brothers. He mentioned two brothers' names, and specifically, if you want to know who they are, ask Brother Jimmy. I don't want to say it from the pulpit, all right? But he said, this one, he said, there's three of us here. He said, this one lives, he said, he believes everything I say. And he said, and this one is struggling with it. And so he said, I live so much like Jesus Christ that this one thinks I am. And he said, I live so much like Jesus Christ to get this one to believe that this one goes over the top and believes that I am. Now, Jesus himself said, I sanctify myself for your sake. Brother Branham sanctified himself for this brother's sake. You understand? Now, we must sanctify ourselves for the sake of those seed out there who have not yet come in and been child trained. You understand? Okay, same thing here now. He says, live so that if God would want to use you, he knows right where to come get you. You're in a position, living a life clean before God. Your words are honest. Your life is true. That's the kind of a place that angels come. Look at Elizabeth and Zechariah. An honest, upright, walking in all the commandments of the Lord. That's the way that we want to live. So when God gets ready to use us, he says, this is my people. I can do with this church what I want to do. They believe me. They stand on my word. See, that's the way you want to do to live the life. Now, that is what we want in our lives so that God would not hesitate to do his works in and through you. Always remember, it is God working in you to will and to do. But if your life is not fit for him to come in, then do not expect either that he would do any works using your body. Now, tonight, I'm going to take just a low-key sermon on the life of Christ in the individual versus the life of Satan in the unbeliever. So, we're just going to go ahead and read a whole lot of quotes here tonight from Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. I want you to notice how many times Brother Branham references, if you are born again, you will live the same life that Jesus lived. And he ties it always to John 14:12. Now, people think I've got this thing about John 14:12. I don't. But in this sermon, Brother Branham mentions it probably a dozen times. So I can't get away from it. But the thing of it is, I do have a thing for John 14:12 because it is something that's very important when you've turned a corner with Christ and he is living your life. Now, the works that I do shall you do also. What are those works? Well, they're varied. They're as varied as we are human beings. You see? One particular prophet was told to lay it aside for 340 days. He did so. That was a work of Christ. Tell me one of you that could lay on your side for... how many can lay on... just overnight on one side and not move the whole night. Well, not get up for 340 days. Now give me a break. That was a work of Christ. And yet he was obedient to it. And then when he finished, God said, okay, now roll over another 40 days. Can you imagine all the ministers around there, you know, man, what a lazy bum. Okay, he's just lazy all the time. But that was what God told him to do. He was willing to do what God told him to do. It didn't matter to him. It didn't matter if he came, if he went. He just wanted to please God. Amen. Well, okay. So because you see, eternal life has one source, and that is God. And if it is by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, then as we brought out last Sunday, there's only one body of Christ. And Jesus Christ is the head of that one body. And if we are the body, then since the head directs the body, our life will compare with his life. Now, in paragraph 65 of Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, Brother Brown said, now here he says, search the scriptures, they testify of me. In them you think you have eternal life, and that's true, and they are the one that bears record of me, and I'm bearing record of them. And if I do not the works that's promised that I would do, then don't hear me. If I do the works and you can't believe me, believe the works, because they testify that he is the word. Oh, it looks like it couldn't be any plainer. What's Brother Branham saying here? He's saying, look, the whole thing should be a testimony of Christ. Now, he says the Bible is a testimony of Jesus Christ. He said if Christ is in you, your life becomes a testimony of Jesus Christ. You see? So what we need to do is then get off our high horses and come down to simplicity. He says, if my life bears record that God is living my life for me, then believe me when I say something to you, because I'm not a liar. But if my life doesn't project the life of Christ living in me, and if you catch me fibbing here and there and there and there, then you don't have to believe what I say because my life is not, that's not Jesus Christ. So why would you have to believe me? It can't be any plainer than that. That's a fair assessment, isn't it? All right, if a man claims to be a Christian, then his life should be reflecting Christ. And if his life doesn't reflect Christ, then why would I believe his testimony that he's a Christian? I don't think we could be any plainer on that. So we find in paragraph 68 now, Brother Bram says, from Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, he says, St. John 14, he said, He, anybody. Now that's Brother Branham right there. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And he told us that he is anybody. Now listen, well, you say that was for another age. There you got your picture wrong again. You got a man fishing out in the desert for a fish in a bunch of hot sand where there's no fish at all. See, you got to bring him back to where he's fishing at Galilee, where there's plenty of fish, you see. See, you got to make the whole picture look right. It's God's great picture, and there's only one way that you'll see it. And when you see Jesus Christ, there's the entire Bible. He's the principal theme of the Bible. Now, I believe the problem is in the church today is that you saw back. I mean, you could go by history because history is empirical. It's evidence. You can go back to the times of Irenaeus. And even in the church age book, it says Irenaeus was such a good teacher that the people, he said the works of Christ was daily in the church. He said the way it worked some of those times, he said sometimes the people, their pastor might have passed away. And the people got together, they laid hands on the pastor, and they raised him up again. Now, of course, you know, you and I don't have that power to do it, but God does. And if God directs it to be done, it'll be done. But you've got to be willing to do what God directs you to do. The problem is that too many people get, well, I might get embarrassed. You know, if I step out and do this, people are going to say this about me. What do you care about what people think about you? You should only care about what one person thinks about you, and that's Jesus Christ. You see? Now, when you see Jesus Christ, that's the key. Not nail scars, not a beard, but the same life living itself out in the body of flesh. So it's life, not vessel, that we look at. Now, he says from paragraph 136, he says, they said, we received the Holy Ghost when we believed. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's a difference. See, that's right. See, and they say, well, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. The Methodists say, well, we are based upon the Bible. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? See, the works that I do shall you do also. Every creature, every person that believes in him. Now, where is it at? That's his words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never fail. Now, where is it at? So Brother Branham is quoting here from John 14:12, and he's saying, I want to see it. Where is it at? Come on, we all call ourselves the church of Jesus Christ, and he said the church at the beginning should be the church at the middle, should be the church at the end. And yet, why do we have evidence of God in the midst of the people in Alpha, but we're not showing it in the Omega? Oh, you say, well, we did have it because it was in Brother Branham. You're copping out. You're copping out. Brother Josh, could you go in and shut the volume off in there? We're getting feedback. Huh? Oh, Sarah, is she here? Okay, who knows Mac? It's just up in the upper right-hand corner. It's just click off the... Okay. And so we're faced with the question from this vindicated man of God. It's supposed to be there, so where's it at? And if it isn't there, then why not? There's something wrong somewhere. And listen, we're not just talking about miracles when we speak of John 14:12. We're talking about the very life, the very actions, the very thinking of the Son of God in us. So where's it at? I believe wrong teaching has produced a people who are looking for nothing, and thus we see nothing. You get what you preach for. And when you do not preach in a way that shows the people that God expects something from them, then the people think, well, God expects nothing from me, so therefore I'm happy to produce nothing. I'm happy to live nothing. I'm happy to try to go in on the coattails of a prophet. Well, if you sow nothing, you reap nothing. Notice that their negative confession did to the children of God in the wilderness journey. The negative confession, they said, we're not able to take it. And what happened? They died. They didn't take it, but the ones who said, we're more than able to take it, they did. They took it. And so we find Brother Branham saying in paragraph 138, of Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, just like all of them other spies did that went over and looked on Canaan, they came over and they said, oh, we look like grasshoppers aside of them. We can't take them. Well, how many people say, oh, I'm just nothing but a grasshopper compared to William Branham? Isn't that what's being done? You know, it's all in him. Just, you know, you've got no responsibility as a Christian. Just might as well go out and eat, drink, and be merry. Just get your four-wheeler and go have fun. Yeah. And so we have a bunch of Baptists anymore. That's not what God came for. He came for people who are living the message, who are so Christ-like that the head joins with the body, you see. But he says, oh, we look like grasshoppers inside of them. We can't take them. The Amalekites and all these things, what they're talking about. And they went back. And Caleb and Joshua, being thoroughbreds, amen, by the word of God, know God said, I give you that land. They said, we're more than able to take it. It depends on where you're born from. If you're born from the word of God, God's word has a preeminence in his church. That's what he died for. That's what his purpose is, that he might be able to achieve to have his preeminence working in the church. Let the word of God shine forth first, no matter what anything else looks like. I don't care if the intellectual says this, that, or that has nothing to do with it. God's word says so, and we're more than able to take it. If I preached that, my church minister told me one time, he said, I'd be preaching to the four posts of the church. I said, well, I preached that. That's right. God's word said so. We can do it. God said it. Amen. So Brother Branham is using a comparison here, and we're looking at today. He's pointing to the church today. We're saying, well, the grasshopper is too big. You know, we look for all these excuses not to live the life. Not to be ready when God would call us to be ready. You see? So I can show you where Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Now you show me where he said, where he took it out of the Bible. You see? In fact, that's what vindicated prophet of God said in his sermon, Spoken Words, Original Seed. Paragraph 144. He said, now the body carries on the works. The body? Oh yeah, the hand. The body carries on the works and does the works that the head commands it to do. Tell me where he ever said organize. Tell me where the head says it's all right for women to cut their hair. Uh-huh. Mention it. It's not there. Tell me where the head ever said these works that I do, but you shall not do them. Well, I can tell you where it's being said, but it's not in the Bible. Tell me that. But the head said this, if you want to put this scripture down, I'll give it to you. John 14, 12, the works that I do shall you do also. That's his body, see? See? See now? See now why I've been so zealous of the kind of seed that I have planted for the body? The rain's going to fall pretty soon. I mean the real rain, and it's got to have seed to fall on. I hope that I live to see it. Do you understand now? It will be the living word as it was at the beginning, the spoken word of God, having his power, for it is in him, in his own body, working his own way, looking to the promises that God gave his body. So what are the promises that God gave his body? To be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Amen? To be manifested sons. In other words, to manifest as Jesus manifested. Not a bunch. I'm not looking forward to a bunch of miracles, brother, sister, although I believe that they're there if God wants them to be there. But what I'm looking for is a life. A life that is so much like his life that we become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. So we have these promises that God gave his body, and these promises are to be manifested in the end time. So where are they at? And don't say that the hand, when the hand does it, the body does it. There's no scripture for that. I'm sorry, I can't go that way. Now, I can understand the theory behind it. You know, I mean, I attribute, like, if my hand uses a hammer, I attribute, you know, that I as a person am using the hammer. And my hand couldn't do it, though, without the body. You understand? Brother Brown said he wouldn't have had a ministry had there not been a people to believe it. He said Jesus wouldn't have had a ministry if there wasn't a people to believe it. Moses wouldn't have had a ministry if there wasn't people to believe it. So, you know, you've got to have the body. You know, I mean, I can't just unscrew my hand and let the hand go off and hammer nails. It ain't going to do it. It needs the arm. It needs, you know, the forearm, the shoulder. It needs the whole body. You understand? So, now, 1 Corinthians 12 and 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts. Now, here's the key. Here's where we're getting to. There's diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, he didn't say, which worketh all in the hand. He said, which worketh all in all. All what? All the body. That's what Paul's talking about. Now, this does not sound like one member of the body does all the work and the rest of it just sits around idle. There's one God who is working to do all in all. Not working to do all in just one member of the body. But the manifestation of the Spirit, if you want to turn with me, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the works of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, to another. But all of these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Notice, another, 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 another. He's not talking about the hand doing it all. All right, he's talking about there's diversities of gifts within the entire body. Now, so the only one that is doing all in all is God. We cannot say when the hand does it that the body does, because the body is not just a hand. But it is the same God who works in the hand and in the feet and in the eyes and in the ears, etc. You see, look, William Branham stood there and he watched the Church of America go by, and she was destitute, unholy, unchristlike, naked. Had the newspaper up in front, you know, and you know, the rest of it was naked. But then a little bride came forward, singing to the tune of Onward, Christian Soldier. Now, so the only one, as I said, that's doing it is God. William Branham had the honor to stand there and watch the bride go by. Now, remember when the church went by, he hung his head in shame. Is that all? All these years of preaching, is that all that I've been able to put forth? And he wept. He was sorrowful. But then he heard the tune, Onward Christian Soldiers, and he saw a little group coming up. Now, we cannot say that when the hand does it, the body does, because the body's not the hand. But it is the same God who works in the hand, works in the feet, works in the eyes, works in the ears. As Paul says in verse 12, for as the body is one, and yet it hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are still just one body. So also is Christ. In other words, the body is one, but made up of many members. Then he says in verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So as the same blood flows into every member of the body, energizing the body, so too the Holy Spirit works in every member of the body, energizing the body of Christ as a whole. Now listen carefully to what Paul says in the next verse here. Verse 14. For the body is not one member. It's not just a hand. It's many. He says, but many. So do not tell me that when the hand does it, the body does it. The body is not made up of only one member. The body is more than a hand. Sure, the hand is part of the body, and in that understanding, when it does what it does, it is attributed to the body. But that is not what Paul is teaching here. He says no one member is the entire body. The body is made up of many member bride. Therefore, he says in verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now listen to his rationale here. And if the ear say, because I'm not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? Well, in the same light, how about if we say, if the whole body were to say that I am not the hand, therefore I'm not of the body? You see where that kind of thinking takes you? You say the hand does it, the rest of the body sits idle. Nothing for me to do. Nothing for me to live. No, I don't have to live a Christ-centered life because I believe God sent a prophet. I believe that he was Malachi 4. I believe that God had a teacher too. You see? And then look at your life go shipwreck. Because without responsibility, it goes into chaos. Look at this nation. People will not take responsibility for their own actions. Let the government support me. And pretty soon you got 47 million people on the dole, taking handouts from the government. And the next thing you've got is you've got just a chaos taking place. What about the church? Now, what are those works of Christ in John 14, 12 anyway? Well, most of the Brother Branham's quotes, when referring to the works of John 14, 12, he refers to the very life that was in Christ. The nature, the attributes of Christ's life. And so if you teach that the hand had the life, then the rest of the body doesn't need to have the life. You cut off the hand from the rest of the body and you have exalted it to the status of an entire body. And that's the danger we face today. You understand? I'm not trying to be facetious here. I'm saying that when you put everything in a prophet, you're saying, I have nothing. When you have, and listen, you don't have nothing by the merits of your flesh, but if you're born again, you have everything that prophet had. You understand? Now, what are those works? Notice, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him, and they were all one member. If they were all one member, where would the body be? Well, let's just change that from one member to, if they were all a hand, where would the body be? You see, if you put it all in William Branham, there is no body. They just got sent a prophet. Whoopee-doo. If the whole body were just the hand, what kind of a body would you have? You say that when the hand does it, the body does it. That's bypassing what Paul's teaching here. What that teaches is that the only life is in the hand and the rest of the body is a corpse and is dead and has a right to be dead because there is a hand attached to the body that has life in it and it will do everything for the body. You mean my heart, my hand can pump my blood? No, it can't. Can my hand hear? No, it can't. Can my hand see? No, it can't. Now, Brother Branham was so opposed to that kind of a thinking. He wanted all to live the life of Christ to the place that God would not hesitate to use any member of the body to manifest himself through them. Now, what I'm saying here doesn't minimize what the hand did. Or shall we say this? This is no way minimizes the great sacrifice in life that William Branham expressed. But what kind of presentation of a bride would he have if he alone lived the life and was used by God to express God's life to this generation? He's been gone for 50 years. Certainly God is expressing himself someplace in somebody. Certainly God is not dead. You understand? Verse 20, but now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. And yet what are you being taught when you say the hand does, the body does it? I have no need of you. I don't need you. I've got a prophet. I don't need you. I'm sorry, we need each other. No man is an island to himself. In fact, that philosophy or theorem or theory or whatever you want to call it, it's not scriptural. And we're going to show you the damage that it does. Nay, but much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You mean the little brother or sister in the back of the church who doesn't do a whole lot, but they sure pray? Yeah. That's right. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about every one of you. God needs you. The body needs you. Now listen, with theology that says if the hand does it, the rest of the body does it, is saying the opposite of what Paul is teaching us here. He says, in essence, the hand cannot say because you are not of the hand, you are not in it. But that is what is being taught. They teach that the only member of the body that was necessary to reflect God's life or manifest the works of God is the hand. The rest of the body is lifeless and non-essential, and that has deflated the life and with it the responsibility that the body has and has taken the responsibility away from the rest of the body and thus has in effect taken the very life of Christ out of the rest of the body as well and placed the life and responsibility of reflecting Christ to only the hand. And so therefore, we have children leaving church and everything else because they don't see Christ. We have brothers who say that, you know, when I was young, you know, I looked up to the deacons, and the older I got and the more I saw that they used their position for politics, I didn't want nothing to do with that. Now, brothers, sisters, that's a sad indictment. Because, you see, we should see God in those deacons. We should see God in one another. We should see him reflecting his life. We should see it, husbands in your wife, wives in your husbands, children in your parents, parents in your children, you see. Now here's where I believe the Apostle Paul was coming from in all of this. He is telling us that each member of the body of Christ has a certain function in the body. The eye sees, the mouth speaks, the hands pick things up, the feet transport the body in conjunction with the legs, etc. All of the members of the body have a function. Your organs in the body have a function. Your heart has a function, your liver has a function, your kidneys have a function. Everything in your body has a function. And then in the very next few paragraphs, he helps us with this understanding. To see is not expected of the feet or ears. You're not expected to see if you're a foot or an ear. To speak is not expected of the feet and of the legs. Therefore, not every member of the body will do everything that the other members are doing. There is only one prophet who sees because he is a seer. Therefore, certain works of Christ that Christ did will only be done by certain members of the body, but are attributed to the body as a whole. But that does not take away from the rest of the body or the responsibility of the body. Brother Branham explains this in Questions and Answers, 1964, August 30th. The question is, will every true believer do the works that Jesus said, as stated in John 14:12? Well, not exactly, no. This is where they stop. But let's read on what Brother Ram says. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. I don't think that's in St. John 14, but it's all right. It's Mark 16. Or is this only to be Elijah? Must the believer do all of this that really believe? And if he really is a real believer, will he raise the dead and do great miracles? Now, here's his answer. Now, that is among the believers. See, every man doesn't have those gifts, and that don't mean that just one person will do it. There'll be groups of people. Let me just change the wording so you understand. That don't mean that just the hand will do it. It'll be within groups, within the body of Christ. You see, like for instance, what if we had a little girl here in the church, a little boy or somebody that we really love, and life would go out of them. The whole church would get together and they go to fasting and pray. Lord, have mercy on that child. See, God could raise it up. Now, how many ever read the Nicene Fathers in them? You know, that's the way they did it in the early church. They'd all get together, you know, and even raise up their pastor sometimes and different ones like that if God seemed fit to do it, but they did it. Now, notice, he said the whole body will not do the same, will not do some of those works, but neither does John 14, 12 speak of just one person. Now, I believe tonight the Lord is honing our understanding because we have those who believe that John 14, 12 is one member of the body only, and some who might misunderstand and think that every member of the body has got to do all those things. But he says the body does all of them, the body, the group of believers called the body of Christ. Now, it's true Brother Ram had all nine gifts of the Spirit, but that doesn't make him a hand, it doesn't make him a foot, it doesn't make him an eye or a mouth, an ear or leg, and feet and arms and neck. He is a member of the body, period. But yet, God did bless him with an abundance of gifts that are usually distributed throughout the body, severally, as they will. But now listen to what Paul says very next verse here, 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. What's the whole picture he's painting here? Not your hand. He's talking about the hand ministers to the body, the mouth ministers to the body, the eyes minister to the body, the feet minister to the body, your organs minister to the body. It's all for the purpose of the body. So how then can you set men apart, put them in a little room and say, now, you know, you come to me and I'm going to tear you apart. Listen, the body doesn't tear itself apart. The body lifts itself. The body helps itself. You understand? And I'm saying these things because, you know, it's not just, look, this is a universal spirit of Nicolaitanism that we're dealing with here. And it's a universal spirit that tears down the people and gets the people to the place where they're nobodies. You got to come to the pastor and the pastor will go to God for you. It sounds like the priest to me, doesn't it? And that's a bunch of hogwash, to borrow Brother Vail's phraseology. If you're a child of God, you have as much a right to go to God as the prophet William Branham said. And you know what he said? He said, God don't look on you any more than the drunk who got saved an hour ago. So how can you elevate yourself as I'm a fivefold minister. So what? This is fivefold minister too, and it ministers to my body just right. You know what? I won't take my shoes and socks off, but I got fivefold ministers down there too. And I got fivefold ministers down there too. And over here too. You understand? And it's all for the purpose of helping the body. I can't put on my boots and my socks without using my hands to help my feet. And yet, I don't put the boots on for my hands. It's to keep my feet from getting bruised. You understand? I put a hat on my head so that the rest of my body doesn't feel achy. You see, the body works together. And that's what Paul says. That's the beauty of it. He says, look, there's different operations but the same Spirit. There's different gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different works. When Jesus said, the works that I do, he didn't say the work that I do. Works, plural. There's many, 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 many things that Jesus did. And you might find yourself doing some of them. And others doing others of those. But together, it's being done, the whole thing. Hallelujah. Now notice, Paul said, this division of works among the body of Christ should not bring any schism. And the schism is a split or a division. So why do we have a division over this? It has nothing to do with our salvation, but schism comes when men place the words of other men over the words of a vindicated prophet or the word of God itself. But what I see concerning John 14:12 is that there are some works that only William Branham did. I have no problem with that. But for the most part, there are many works that the body of Christ does. Knowing which is and which is and which is not, well, it's not that important. But what is important is not limiting a sovereign God. When we make statements limiting Scripture to only one person without other Scripture or any empirical historical evidence, we're causing a fuss because of pride and not because of truth. We have a vindicated prophet that told us that God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. We have had many men of God throughout the seven church ages who have done the works of Christ. There is not one thing that God did in the ministry of William Branham that he did not do in other ministries throughout the ages. He just did more of the same. But when it comes to creation, you say, well, what about creation? What about Brother Bosworth and eardrums that weren't there? Brother Vail's own testimony. Eardrums that weren't there, God created eardrums. Oh, we know God created eyeballs because we know of two different instances where God created eyeballs. God created squirrels. Hallelujah, that's wonderful. But that's not the only time God created. As I said in Brother Bosworth, God created eardrums there. And so you say, well, okay, well, greater works means more of the same. Well, that's true. No fuss there. But Brother Bosworth had 225,000 letters recording 225,000 healings in his ministry, and many of them were over the radio. He didn't lay hands on. That wasn't Mark 16. People were healed. People received eardrums through the instrument or the operation of the gift of the Holy Ghost. 225,000 healings in his ministry. Oh, I know Brother Branham had many times more than that. But more is more. As Brother Vail said, a 5-pound bucket and a 10-pound bucket, they're both greater than a 1-pound bucket. So what's the argument? Why fuss over that? There shouldn't be one. They say, well, what about discernment? Seems to me quite a few prophets of the Old Testament had visions and discernment. How many have ever read the scriptures on Samuel? He told the men where they had lost their horses, where to go, what valley to go to, and they'd find their horses. Sounds like Brother Branham with some of the brothers up there in Canada. See? And Elijah, knowing what the kings were talking about in the king's chamber. So let's just call the body of Christ his body, because he is the head and he does it all anyway. And so how should the body then work together? Well, Paul says in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Any of you ever, you were a carpenter and did all that kind of stuff, ever hit your hand with a thumb with a hammer? Did you feel it down to your feet? I tell you what, I've hit my hand with a hammer before and I could feel it in my feet. Your whole body suffers. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one, and what about you sisters when you're not feeling so good? You know, in fact, you know, those certain cycles you have that you're feeling pretty miserable. Husbands, how many of you don't suffer when your wife's suffering? Huh? Exactly, brother, sister. We're talking about when one member suffers, we all suffer. Or when one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, but are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. In other words, he's saying the works of Christ, the works of the Holy Ghost, are various. They're various. And what you might feel is maybe not so significant, this person over here might feel is very significant. You understand? Then he goes on to show us a more excellent way, and he devotes the next thoughts to love. For without love being our motivation for all that we do, everything we do is in vain. Now that takes us to Christ's mystery of God revealed in paragraph 177. Brother Brown says, he says, watch. What was Jesus manifested for? To show God. He was God. He had to be. No man could die. no prophet could die. He was God. He was the God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was he that was to come, he that was, he that is, and he that's to be in this the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was manifested for that purpose, and through that purpose he achieved a church that he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promised word of God in these last days when he gets the preeminence in the church, the position, his place in the church. In other words, is he your head? Because when he becomes your head, then God becomes glorified in you. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, even more than this shall you do because I go to my Father. See, that was his purpose. There was the manifestation. So, in other words, God manifests himself in Jesus, his son. God wants to manifest himself in the church. That's the secondfold purpose. So this is the main reason for covering John 14:12 so much, because it is learning to die to self and let Christ have the preeminence in our life. Then as we read from Brother Branham, when God looks at his vessel ready for service, he knows where you are when he wishes to call upon you and you're ready. Again, from paragraph 179, he says, now, it's easy to go back and pick up what these other fellows has left off here in the last days. By his Holy Spirit revealed all the mysteries of the seven seals. See, he's expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ, and then he expressed himself through the church, and the same thing. Christ was the Word. The church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. But when they accept the hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? It's grounded. Then it causes a short and blows a fuse. See, but when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do shall you do also. And in the last days it shall come to pass, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the Father. That's another promise we have. The hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Now, again from paragraph 194, he says, notice, God manifested himself in his body, Christ. Now you see the threefold beautiful thing? Christ in his body, the church vindicating his promised word like God did through Christ. Who can condemn me of sin? If I do not the works of my Father, then where have I? Where have I failed you? Now you fellows, you say that you're doing it. You denominations now, show me. Yeah, show me where I failed to be the Messiah. Show me where I failed on one sign that God said the Messiah would do, that I haven't fulfilled it. See, he said, see, God is in his body. And from paragraph 195, he said, now Christ, the works that I do shall you do also. See how often it's coming up in this sermon here? See, the same God, see, the works that I do shall you do also, more than this, for I go to my Father. The church will be a little longer in life. See, vindicating his promised word as God did his promises in Christ's body, so is Christ doing his same works in Christ's body, the church. See, now making his mystery known to the bride tree here in the last days, bringing forth the fruits that was in the tree at the beginning. And from 2:12, he says, now notice, and the Father that sent me went with him. The Father that sends, the Jesus that sends us, goes in us. A little while and the world won't see me no more, yet you shall see me, for I, personal pronoun, I, the person Jesus, will be with you even to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. Now go back and see what he done, then see what you do, and then compare yourself. It's just that simple. And don't feel bad if you're not doing the big stuff. Don't have to do the big stuff. But are you living the life? Are you obedient to the word? You see? Now, from Christ is the mystery, paragraph 219. The very God, that creative life, you see, that's in you, you're a prisoner. You can't speak it till he says speak it. But when it gets spoke, it's God's word. He's a vindicated to be so. Everything else is right. And he knows when that spoke, it's got to be so. See, Moses took his rod and he said, let there come frogs. And because God said, let there come frogs. He just transmitted on out. That's right. The frogs was in everything. Everywhere was frogs. Where'd they come from? Nobody knows. They wasn't there before, but the Creator, God working through a man, created things, a living species. The very God that made the first frog can make the second frog. He makes all frogs. Oh my. You see what I mean? Made the first squirrel, makes the second squirrel, makes the third squirrel, can make squirrels where there is no squirrels. He can do anything he wants to. He's God. He's God, his life. Oh my. So Brother Branham is showing you, look, the same works that, you know, people say, well, Brother Branham had creation. Nobody else did. Moses did. Brother Branham just said it. You see, it's the same God working all and in all. You see, Paragraph 251, and in the Christian age, there was one God which appeared in the form of the pillar of fire to a prophet called Paul, who was sent to the Gentiles to take a people out for his name. Is that right? And in the last days has come down in like manner of vindicating himself. See, in the same signs, same wonders, same pillar of fire, same gospel, same word, same manifestation. His body will do the works that he promised, like in Mark 16 and so forth. And from 259. He says, now listen close, fallen angels, what kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostal, who kept not their first estate like the angels did, and has fell into organizations like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. And what have they done? They organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image under the beast, as the Bible said, in building a Christian economy that will close the doors of the church and others, this church and others like it. See, Lucifer at his work. I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation or mystery of God. What did they do? Sold out to reasonings of wisdom and education like Eve did, fallen angels. Now, notice the difference that, you know, the bride comes to the place where she's just totally died to herself. She just takes the word and nothing else, and she doesn't worry about how God's going to do it. The others, it all turns to reasoning. Now, again, 273. Now, we see the promise being fulfilled, Christ the true headship coming in his bride, doing the same works that he did in the beginning and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did at first in John 14, 12. He that believes on me, the works that I do shall you do also. Then the head and the body are becoming one in works, one in sign, and one in life. Vindicated by God himself through his promised word for the last days. He promised this in the last days. Now, if you're spiritual, you'll catch it. And from we would see Jesus then, Brother Bramson, now. But now, while he's here working with his church in the form of spirit, then in his spirit, if his spirit is in us, he will act just exactly like he acted when he was here on earth. It'll make you act the same way, because it's not your spirit anymore, it's his spirit in you. Christ's spirit in you. The things that I do, he that believeth in me, St. John 14, 12, the works that I do shall you do also. See, we'll do the same works, we will think the same thoughts, we will live the same type of a life. If the spirit of God is in you, it will make you live like Christ, Christ-like. Then you become a written epistle read of all men, Christ in you, reflecting his light out of you, as God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself and reflecting God from his own body. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. God was in Christ, and what Christ's attitude was God's attitude, because the two work together, the spirit and flesh united together. So Brother Branham is saying, what was in Christ then is in you. The same attitude, because we have the attitude of Christ. In fact, the NIV, when it says, let the mind that was in you be... let the mind that was in Christ be in you. The NIV says, let the attitude which was in Christ be in you. Now, from he that is in you, Brother Brown said, but he that is in you is Christ. And if Christ is in you, the works of Christ you'll do, if Christ lives in you. He said in St. John 14, 12, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. If you was in Christ, or if Christ lived in you, then Christ is the word. Is that right? And the word come to the prophet. See, and if Christ lived in you, the works of Christ would be done through you. The life of Christ would be lived through you. The works he did, the life he lived, and everything, it would live in you. Just like if Shakespeare, Beethoven, or whoever it was lived in you, if his life, but if you're still living your own life, then your own works you will do. See? But if you're living the life of Christ, if Christ is in you, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. If your doubts and frustrations about God's promises is in you, then Christ isn't there. See? You're only worked up. But if the life, if Christ is living in you, his word, he will recognize, and his promise, he will do. See, he'll do it. And from Sir, we would see Jesus. He said, now, according to the scripture, we are supposed to be written epistles of him. The Bible says that we are written epistles, and if tonight we would hunger and thirst to see the Lord Jesus Christ, we as Christian believers should reflect his life so much till it would be his entire representation. We should be that. Every Christian should be a representative and reflect the life of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? And I believe that every Christian should be reflecting the life of Christ. He said in St. John 14, 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And then we know that that's true, that we are his representative. And if we claim that Christ lives in us, and if Christ lives in us, then we should do as Christ did. We should reflect his life. It's just so simple. I mean, you know, he said if you put a pear life into a peach tree, it's going to bring forth pears. You know, if you take the sap and everything. And so, you know, it's just so simple. From Anointed Ones at the end times, and now, he that abideth in me, him that was the root at the beginning, that's the reason Jesus was both root and offspring of David. He was before David and David and after David, but both root and offspring of David, the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, Alpha and Omega, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. both root and offspring of David. He that is the elected life, the predestined life that's in me, and he is the word from the beginning, when he comes forth, he will bear my fruits, St. John 14:12. But others will live by the same thing. They call themselves Christians and believers. Not all that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter therein. Now, this is to take place and be manifested in the last days when the mysteries of God should be finished, as we'll get to later. So here, Brother Branham is saying, look, if the very life of Christ is not bearing fruit, is not living itself out in you, then perhaps you're not one of John 14:12, but you're those who call themselves Christians and believers, but they're really not. And from God's provided place of worship, he said, Jesus said in St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me while he is in me. Now, no wonder people says the days of miracles is past. No wonder they say these things. He that believeth in me, not believe on me, but believe in me. The works that I do shall he do also. Why? It's his life. It's his dynamics and his mechanics that's in you that fires it off, makes it go and do the works that it promised to do. Oh, my life in him has quickened me to his spirit to make his word, which is the mechanics, work by his dynamics. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember Romans 8, verse 11. He says, if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Now, that's not the body in the grave. That's the corpse. The mortal body is the body that's capable of dying. That's this body here. If we have that spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it ought to quicken. It ought to bring to life this mortal body. Bring to life to what? To the word. Hallelujah. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, now, how that the perfect sacrifice, God perfected in human life what he was going to do. We had God the Father, which was Almighty Jehovah. Then that was the pillar of fire, light, took Israel through the wilderness, and that same Jehovah become flesh and dwell among us in the form of his only begotten Son, created a tabernacle for his own self to dwell in. God manifested in flesh, the fullness of Godhead bodily dwelt in him, the perfect manifestation. Then through the covenant, the human part of him was taken away, severed, and that he might, his covenant, separate the body that died and the blood that was shed for the remission of sins and raise it up and set it on the right hand and sent the Spirit back on the day of Pentecost. And that same life that was lived in Christ Jesus has to be lived in the covenant people. Same life, doing the same thing. Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now, that's either right or it's wrong. It's got to be right. To me, every word of it's right. Every word is perfectly right. Notice how glorious God works. And from harvest time, he said, see, that don't reflect the word of God when a seminary student tells you the Holy Ghost is not for today. And these things, all that divine healing stuff for some other day. See, it's not a reflection from God. It's a reflection from a creed, or it's a reflection from a doctrine that's outside of the Bible. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And John 14:12 said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now, how are you going to take that word out of there? How are you going to add something in its place? You break the chain of life. Man lives by bread only, the bread eternal. He lives by that bread. Physically, he lives by this bread. There's the two breads, the Holy Spirit in you says amen to every word of God. If that is the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to ask you something. Now, this is a pinching part. Just a few more and we'll close here. From Perseverance, Brother Ram said, God's going to judge the world by a church. Which one? The Catholic Church, 665 different denominations. How is he going to do that? God's going to judge the world by Jesus Christ, and Christ in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God and the Word is the same. This is God on print. And if you got the Holy Spirit, plant that seed in there. It brings it to life, breaks that life forth, and manifests and vindicates it. Jesus said in St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. So it always admits to the truth, oh my. And from questions and answers, Brother asked, now the law of sin and death works in your flesh, but the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart. So your heart, your spirit in your heart will make your body obey what it says. That's exactly right. Now that's what Paul says always, always. So in closing then, we have the life of God being manifested in the people of God, the seed of God. On the other side, and that's eternal. On the other side, we have what's a temporal life. In John 8:37, he says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen my father, and you do that which you have seen your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, well, okay, if you were Abraham's children, wouldn't you do the works of Abraham? I mean, aren't the attributes there? But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, your attributes aren't showing that you're from Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And they said unto him, well, we're not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So you see, Jesus is just really hitting it on the nail there. He says, look, attributes, the attributes of your life, like we've been reading all these quotes. Brother Ram said, when Jesus said, you know, the works that I do shall you do also. He said, now, how do you know that if you're of him? Well, what did he do? What are you doing? Huh? And yet we showed you, like Paul said, in the body, the hand doesn't do everything, the eye doesn't do everything, the ear doesn't do everything, but you all have a portion of the works of Christ. It's not that you're going to do everything. Not everybody's going to have tornadoes come at their house and speak it and it's going to go away. Not everybody's going to have these dynamic things take place. But there's going to be the works of Christ in all of you if you have the Holy Ghost, because you can't help as you live that life. There's things that God does in a supernatural way. Many times there's been, I mean, I could look at, you know, I just look at my own life and I see things that God did that I didn't even know how could be done. I mean, one time when we first started pastoring over here, I tried to have Wednesday night and I was driving over from Indiana 3.5 hours. And I was coming down through the bypass where 74 comes into 75 down there. And there was a piece of metal that broke off on the bridge. It went up in the air. It was coming right for the car. And for some way, God just took it aside and it didn't hit the car. And on the same trip, I was on my way and I was cutting through 36 that goes between Bloomington, Indiana, and the place where they have the tree growing out of the Greensburg or whatever it is there. And I decided, well, you know, I was behind this big old truck and I couldn't see around. So I thought, well, I'll just pass it. I went to pull out. And there's another truck coming right there. And I couldn't get back in because this truck had slowed down, seeing me pull out. And somehow my car went from being standard, 6.5 feet wide to about maybe 2 feet wide, because it went through a space there that there was only a very narrow space between these two trucks. And somehow my car went through those two trucks. I don't know if it, you know, I can't explain it. Like Brother Brown said, you know, just things happen. It's God that did it. And I'm sure every one of you have had something in your life where God did something like that, where, you know, you just know how you're still here today, how you're living, how you're breathing. So anyway, but we're looking at that versus look at Jesus said about Satan. You know, you've got attributes too. You're showing the attributes of your father. In Christ is the mystery of God revealed, paragraph 89, Brother Brown said, now watch down through the age. Whenever that light hits some, they turn it away and flashed it away. And great intellectuals and them, the great priests standing out there, there was rabbis, great teachers and authority, like different ones, like Nicodemus and them. Men polished in scholarship, and he couldn't even understand it. And there was those great priests stood out there and rabbis who were taught in the word. My, they noted intellectually. And he said, and you're of your father the devil, and his works you'll do. Think of it. Holy men, you couldn't put your finger nowhere on their life, or their father's life, or their great-grandfather's life, or their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's life. If they did, they died in shame. They stoned them. But here stood Jesus calling that bunch of devils, religious people. And from it wasn't so from the beginning, Brother Brown says, so what have we got to fear about? The thing of it is, you say, well, we'll just live loose. That shows your name isn't on the book. That's exactly right. That proves that you wasn't when you try to live any kind of life that you want to live. That shows that you haven't got it. If you're a real Christian, you'll live the real life, because the life of Christ is in you, and you can do nothing else but to live the life of Christ. We've got other scriptures here we could show you, but just to let you know that, you know, like 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know, corruptible seed is something that perishes away. You find people running the altar every week. Sometimes some churches, every time a new preacher comes into town, you know, they have altar calls. The same people are coming up every time. That's a corruptible seed. But brother, sister, we have been born again of an incorruptible seed, which lives and abides forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that You have called us by your grace. You have filled us in it, as Brother Branham called it. You injected your spirit in us to live a life which is commensurate with this word. And so, Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you've chosen us before the foundations of the world, that we should be sitting here tonight, preparing ourselves for the going home. Now, we don't know, Father, if this would be the spring or next, perhaps, but we just pray, Father, that every day that we would just wake up in the morning and we would just be determined that we would die to self. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but Christ is actually living in me. And the life I'm now living, I'm living by his faith, the faith of the Son of God. And so, Father, help us to die to self. May we, Lord, crucify this flesh and the lust thereof. And, Father, may your holy presence, your Holy Spirit, which is holy, live a holy life in us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, Gone From My Heart, The World and All Its Charm. I think it's called I Love Him. Do you know which one that is, Christina? Huh? Is it in 4 in this one? Okay.
Gone from my heart, the world and all its charm. Now through the blood, I'm safe from all alarms. Down at the cross, my heart is bending low, the precious blood of Jesus cleanses white as snow. I love him. I love him because he trust a loving God, but now I'm cleansed from every stain through Jesus' blood. I love him. I love him because he I live to that he doth give.